Alleluia. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "When you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, know that its desolation is at hand. Then those in Judea must flee to the mountains. Let those within the city escape from it. Let those in the countryside not enter it. For these days are the time of punishment when all the scriptures are fulfilled. Woe to the pregnant women and nursing mothers in those days, for a terrible calamity will come upon the earth, and a wrathful judgment upon the people. They will fall by the edge of the sword and be taken as captives by all the Gentiles. And Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars, and on earth nations will be in dismay, perplexed by the roaring of the seas. People will die of fright in anticipation of what is coming upon the world, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken." And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these signs begin to happen, stand erect and raise your heads, because your redemption is at hand. The Gospel of the Lord. We have an exterior and an interior dynamism happening in today's readings, which is important for us to catch, not just to understand them, but to live what they're trying to indicate to us. First dynamism is downward destruction. First, Jerusalem is portrayed by Jesus as to be destroyed, stone upon stone. It's a frightening scene. And then, the power that would destroy Jerusalem, Rome, is depicted in the book of Revelation as likewise totally being destroyed. Destruction. We'll see where that destruction comes from. Downward. Collapsing, ruin. Second great dynamism is upward, in which Jesus says, "Stand erect and raise your heads." That he's trying to lift us up in the midst of all of that destruction. That as things are being destroyed, there's a great construction project happening, and he is the master builder. The second great dynamism is interior, based on two types of love. When St. Augustine wrote his famous City of God, he talked about two cities led by two different types of love. A love of God to the exclusion of false self-love, or a love of self to the exclusion of true love of God. And we see both of these at play here. First, the love that leads to the destruction already described. It's depicted here as harlotry, as the seduction of the things of the world. It seems like love because it draws us, but it's a false type of love. It's a threefold lust, as St. John himself would say in his letters, a thirst for power and control. Thirst for things. So it goes through this lament of all the merchants in the book of Revelation. And a thirst for pleasure, using others for one's own gratification. The contrast to that is the love that God wants us to have, the love of the bridegroom in a marriage that will truly consummate that love. The very end of the book of Revelation, its passage today, we see, "Write this, blessed are those who have been called to the wedding feast of the Lamb." As we talk about when we have that passage about not fasting when the bridegroom is with us, we are first sons of the bridal chamber. We are the members of the wedding party. But even beyond that, we constitute collectively the bride. And so we're called to the type of love that receives and reciprocates the love of the bridegroom. There are three images given about the way we're supposed to relate to the bridegroom, both in the book of Revelation and today's gospel. In this great Hallel, this great Alleluia sung by the multitude of heaven, it says, Alleluia, salvation, glory, and power or might or strength, however you want to translate it, belong to our God, whose judgments are just and true. Salvation, glory, and power. The end of today's gospel reading, Jesus says to us, when these signs begin to happen, and then you will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and glory. And when they begin to happen, stand erect and raise your heads, because your salvation, your redemption is at hand. For us to relate to Jesus, who loves us, we've got to grasp first that he loves us with glory. The beginning of his priestly prayer in John 17, he turns to the Father, begs for glory, so that he might share that glory with us. He wants us to rejoice in that gift, and in fact, to have it redound to us. St. Irenaeus commented, Gloria Dei vivens homo. The glory of God is when we become fully alive with the life that Christ comes to give us, which comes through knowing that we're loved that much. First way we relate to the bridegroom is through the glory he wishes to share, his own divine majesty, his own divine favor. Second is power. The bridegroom wants us to recognize that he is that stronger man. He is the incarnation of the power of the Lord. But that power is likewise loving. And lest we become intimidated, he becomes so small in the exercise of his power. He becomes supremely meek, being conceived of a virgin from a no-name place, born in a stable, working a simple, humble trade for the vast majority of his life, preaching as a wandering rabbi with no place to lay his head, ultimately crucified by his own creatures whom he was loving and calling to this wedding banquet, and hiding himself under the appearances of simple bread and wine, so that we, even in this world, might enter into the consummation of his spousal union. Power. That power is shown ultimately in the cross. It's a folly to Gentiles, it's a scandal to the Jews. But as St. Paul tells us, to those who are called, it's the power and the wisdom of God. Power demonstrated in all its weakness, that God can transform the worst event in human history into the greatest thing that's ever happened. Finally, salvation, redemption. Jesus wants us to relate to him as our Redeemer. Prophet Hosea talks about the one, your lover is your Redeemer, the one who will buy you back, the one who will rescue you, the one who will give up everything and come and hunt us down. We've got a Redeemer who will never let us be lost. One of the greatest true stories I've seen in my lifetime was when the earthquake happened in Ankara, Turkey. It totally destroyed a school. The whole school was buried in rubble. It was feared that every single student and teacher in that building would be lost. You got the crews out. You got the big equipment to try to go through the rubble. And you weren't making any progress for days. The ones who were paid to do that work were becoming fatigued and despondent, not expecting that anyone would be found. But there was a father there who just kept working when everybody else was tired, and he was getting all his friends to help because his son was obviously in that rubble. And after, I think it was 6 days, after everybody had despaired that all of them would be lost, finally they got close, and they heard some kids, and the kids heard the voices, and there was great excitement. And it took a couple hours to finally get there and start rescuing one by one. And when they got the boys out, the son of this father turned to his classmates and said in Turkish, "See, I told you my father would come." We have that type of bridegroom who loves us like that. So we have nothing to fear. 11 years ago tomorrow, Pope Benedict gave us his beautiful encyclical on Christian hope, Spe Salvi. And in paragraph 44, he talks about the judgment we see depicted against Jerusalem because of her sins, because of Babylon, i.e. Rome, because of hers. And Pope Benedict says, when we look at the images of judgment at the first level, they're frightening. But at a deeper level, they are images of hope, as God's justice comes into the world. And so that as those who are being seduced by the great harlot are choosing destruction day by day, we, called by that love of that bridegroom, are called to stand up, raise our heads, and relate to the bridegroom who wishes to share with us his glory, the power of his redeeming love, and his salvation. So that as we here say, blessed are those who are called to the supper of the Lamb, and meet that Lord in his glory, power, and redemption, he might through it transform us, so that we might be able to join in that song of the multitude which we encounter today. Praise be Jesus Christ.